afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, August 24th, 2007 edition of the American Awakening. Happy Friday to you. This is Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. I am your wonderful, happy host. A couple of announcements. Got Jim Fetzer coming up. Got a great show going on today, and I just happened to watch this hit piece last night on the History Channel, and Jim was on there. A lot of people were on there that I happen to know personally. I've had the pleasure of meeting, and I'm going to get into that a little bit, and probably some alternative theories on 9/11, and I'm really interested in talking to Jim about that. But before I get into that, I wanted to mention my website is www.theamericanawakening.org. And for those of you who have been in there, I had a pledge drive going up there, and I pulled it down. I got some issues going with PayPal. And I wanted to tell you what has happened to these people since the last time I had a PayPal account. They're so wonderful. They send me these things congratulating me that I've been approved for a PayPal account, and it says activate your PayPal account. Another email that says getting started with your PayPal account. And everything is really, really, really wonderful. But then this comes from service at PayPal. But then I get an email from HarborOne at PayPal. Now, this says that along with the Social Security number, they now need an employment identification number, which you only get an employment identification number if you're a corporation, of which I am not. And so they say this information is needed to verify your tax status as a charity, nonprofit organization, or a government entity. I see. Okay. But anyway, at any rate, so I'm looking at this. The next day, I get yet another email from PayPal, and this one comes from Compliance at PayPal, and now Compliance at PayPal says that they have no problem with my taking donations up there, but in review of my website, they see that I'm taking donations and also applications for home loans. We are okay with the donation section under the circumstances in regards to the home loan applications. Please provide us a brief yet comprehensive, which is an oxymoron, explanation of your business model. Please include a list of the activities your organization engages. So, you know, when they changed this around and the IRS said they were going to do this, it's obvious now that this PayPal is overseen by the NSA and or the CIA. And I want to make an announcement. I've talked to John Stadtmiller about this, and John said to remove the mortgages, which I'm not writing any anyway. So I'm sitting on the fence as whether I'm going to even accept PayPal. For the time being, though, I want to let you know that I am going to take some donations, hopefully to help you, you guys help me get over the hump here. But I'm going after advertisers starting next week. I've been working with John Stadtmiller's advertising guy, and I'm going to start contacting advertisers next week. So the pledge drive itself will be short-lived because, as I've told many of you before, I don't like to beg for money. Off that subject, we've got Jim Fetzer coming up here, and we're going to talk about – I want to talk to him, and he doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to talk to him about this History Channel hit piece that they did, and I don't know how many of you have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, you need to go in there. It'll be coming up. They'll be showing it probably another 15, 20 times throughout the course of the next few weeks. But it's unbelievable, folks. This piece was supposed to be a balanced piece that showed both ends of the story, and it was so unbalanced, it was unbelievable. I was so nauseous in watching that. I literally had to pause it and then start it again after my stomach quit curling because these people did an absolutely, well, from their perspective, a wonderful job of painting us as a bunch of kooks. Okay, but on the flip side of that coin, from our perspective, these people are the most deceptive yellow journalist I've ever seen in my life. At any rate, I'm going to surprise Jim by bringing that up. I've had Jim on my show a couple times before. He's always a wonderful guest. So I'll be back in three. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Great show. Be right back with my guest, Jim Fetzer.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And as I was mentioning before the break, I had the displeasure of seeing this major hit piece that the History Channel put together, a two-hour documentary on 9/11. And what's interesting is that they had they would put up on the screen conspiracy theory, and then they would have Dr. Jim Fetzer, or they'd have Stephen Jones, or they'd have Bob Bowman, or any one of a number of very well-credentialed experts that would toss out their theory, and then they would come back with – it would come back up on the screen after Mr. Fetzer or any of these other people made their statement, and they would come back with the expert response. And the expert just happened to be I believe his name is Jim Miggs, who's nothing more than an editor for Popular Mechanics. Now, I don't call him an expert. He might be an expert at editing articles. And him and then his junior assistant looks like he's all of 20 years old, along with another gentleman who was a publisher for another magazine, of which I don't remember the name off the top of my head. But without any further ado, I want to bring Jim Fetzer up. Jim, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike.
How are you today?
Just fine. Glad to be on.
Listen, I wanted to surprise you. I had Lindsay. You've met Lindsay, my wife.
Yeah.
I had Lindsay record this History Channel special, and I got to see it last night, and I was absolutely shocked that, you know, lo and behold, there's Jim Fetzer's face that pops up in it 5, 6, 7 times. And what fascinated me was that. Have you seen that special, Jim?
Oh, of course. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, what fascinated me is they've got all these credentialed scholars and experts and engineers and physicists and pilots and all these, you know, no question about these guys are experts. And they put them up posing a question under the term conspiracy theory. And then they, after that, they come back with the expert. And their experts are nothing more than Miggs, which is, you know, just an editor for Popular Mechanics. And then this other guy that looks like he's not even dry behind the ears yet, who's, I guess, his deputy or assistant editor or whatever. Then there's another guy publishing a magazine. I didn't catch all their names. They made a good point, I think, of not putting up the names of these, you know, so-called experts. What was your take on that?
Well, your point's well taken. I mean, those of us who were representing 9/11 were interviewed rather extensively. For example, I was interviewed at NBC headquarters in New York City for an hour and a half. And from that hour and a half, they extracted what might be a total of about 6 seconds worth, 6 minutes worth of content. Practically all of my, you know, I laid so many explanations on them about the evidence that demonstrates the official account can't possibly be true. But they did a lot of scissors and paste. They took, you know, fragments of sentences. In one case, they actually took a remark I was making about Building 7 having come down in a classic controlled demolition, which implies the existence of previously positioned explosives, and then added that that leads to wondering whether buildings 1 and 2 were also prepared with explosives. And then I began to talk about how there was these odd security lapses in 1 and 2 for the 2 weeks before 9/11. Now, they took the remark about building the 1 and 2 in 7 and reversed their order, which was odd. It wasn't extremely offensive, but it was, you know, something that they clearly did deliberately. The point you're making is impeccable. Rather than address the question of qualifications across the board, where they might have to explain that the people that they were identifying with the word expert, so you actually had on the screen it said conspiracy theorist at the top, and then at the top, if you turned to their people, it said expert. So you could see it was the conspiracy theorist confronting the experts, as though the conspiracy theorist had nothing to do with expertise or didn't know what they're talking about. They featured not only Alex Jones and Dylan Avery, but David Ray Griffin. Griffin is a distinguished philosopher of religion and theologian. He's published over 30 books, including 5 on 9/11. He's one of the leading authorities in the field in relation to the events of 9/11. Bob Bowman, who, of course, is not only the former director of the Star Wars Research Program in the Reagan administration, but has a Ph.D. in nuclear engineering from Caltech and has 101 combat missions as an Air Force pilot. Webster Tarpley, who may be our nation's leading expert on covert operations and who, of course, is the author of 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA, they wouldn't mention that I'm not only a former Marine Corps officer who taught 35 years courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning, but that I published 28 books, including 3 collections on the death of JFK. People like us are well-established scholars. David Ray Griffin and I, in particular, have so much scholarly expertise that there was no one else on the program who could compare. And when they turned to Meigs, as you say, doing research on Meigs, it turns out he's the former editor of Video Review and Entertainment Weekly. It turns out this David Coburn, who was his assistant, is an editorial assistant on the National Geographic Traveler magazine, and it turns out someone else they featured repeatedly, Chip Burleigh, turns out to be a college dropout. I mean, it's obvious why they didn't talk about qualifications, because their so-called experts really were severely lacking in that category.
And they won't even debate it. And, you know, the whole thing to me, from my perspective, Jim, and I'm sure you know this, was laughable. But it was also disgusting, because I literally had to pause it, I would say, a good 4 to 5 times during the broadcast, because it made me sick. It's basically, you know, it's put together to do nothing more than to keep the mind-numbed Americans sleeping, or to give them an excuse to remain in their denial. But for anybody that knows anything about what's really going on with the events surrounding 9/11, it was a nauseating piece.
Yeah, it was a nauseating piece. Now, Let me just mention a couple other features. When it came to the Pentagon, that they showed animations of the hit on the Pentagon that were completely inconsistent with the government's official account. According to the government's account, the plane came from the south, heading north at a considerable angle, hit the building, flying just barely above the ground. Well, they showed different animations. They showed one of a plane swooping down and hitting the building in about the middle, when, of course, the actual hit point was on the ground floor. Then they showed another plane just barely, hurling just about at ground level, which, as you may well know, is not even aerodynamically possible. I mean, it turns out that a plane in flight accumulates a pocket of compressed gas beneath a fuselage, that gas being air. Depending on how fast the plane is flying, it creates a limitation on how close it can get to the ground, so that planes can only land because they decrease their speed and thereby diminish the size of this pocket of compressed gas. Even a little Cessna, for example, at full throttle, could not get closer than 15 feet to the ground. A Boeing 757 at full throttle, at 500 miles an hour, as this plane is alleged to be, couldn't have got closer than about 60 feet to the ground. But we're talking about one wing length as an approximate indication, which means the official account isn't even aerodynamically possible. But that's rather like the claims they make about jet fuel fire, which only burns maximally at 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit, causing the steel to melt when it doesn't melt until it reaches 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit, or ignore the fact that in relation to weakening, Underwriters Laboratory had certified the steel used in the building to 2,000 degrees for 3 to 4 hours without even weakening, and NIST's own study of 236 samples of steel showed that 233 of them had not been exposed to temperatures above 500 degrees Fahrenheit, and the other three not to temperatures above 12. So that the NIST's own evidence contradicts the government's official story of what happened on 9/11.
Well, what's interesting is that they, I saw that diagram, the graphic of the supposedly the 757 hitting the Pentagon, and it, what happened to the light poles that supposedly went down? The way that plane approached, those light poles couldn't have gone down. And another thing I want to point out here is I've talked to Rob Balsamo, who's a pilot, who's the co-founder of Pilots for 9/11 Truth, of which I'm a member. And what's interesting is that these guys, Miggs, will not. He refuses to debate anybody of any expertise, pilot, physicist, anything, on this subject whatsoever. But he has the audacity to be able to get on and pose, if you will, as an expert to try to discredit, scholars, experts like yourself and others. And as I say, that's why it's so disgusting to me. Now, I didn't bring you up today to really even talk about this, but I wanted to point out that I saw this last night, and I saw your beautiful face pop up there 5, 6, 7 times. So I had to bring this up just to get your take. Go ahead.
Well, as Mike, as I'm sure you know, being a member of Pilots, I mean, the pilots have done a study of the black box data provided to them under the Freedom of Information Act for what is supposed to be the flight of, Flight 77, which is the plane that's supposed to have hit the Pentagon, and they discovered that the black box data contradicts the official account. It has the plane about 300 feet in the air, far too high to hit those lampposts. It comes from a completely different trajectory. It hits perpendicularly, approaches the building perpendicularly, and when it's 1 second out from impact, it's 100 feet above the Pentagon. In other words, the flight data is consistent with a plane heading toward the building and then flying above it, which interestingly is completely consistent with a report I received from a friend of mine whose buddy is a trucker who just happened to be in front of the Pentagon, and who wrote my friend to say how he had seen this large plane approach the Pentagon and then at the last moment swerve off. And my buddy wrote me and said, he couldn't understand why this guy, the trucker, insisted that a plane had hit the building because he hadn't seen a plane hit the building. And yet what the trucker was telling him is completely consistent with what the pilots for 9/11 Truth have turned up in their own studies of the flight data recorder.
Yeah, and not only that, but, there's another little snippet that I wanted to point out, and I'm sure you've seen this because, if I'll remember you for nothing else, Jim, I'll remember you for that Fox piece when they, you mentioned that you've got their fact, they had their facts foxed, that's what it was.
Yeah.
The Norman Mineta testimony from the Kane-Hamilton Commission, where, he was talking about the plane was 50 miles out, 30 miles out, 20 miles out. Does the order still stand? And Cheney jerked his head and said, of course the order still stands. Have you heard anything different? Which obviously was a stand-down order. And I watched these so-called experts dance around that issue and literally, you know, muddy it and try to actually plant the seed of that them talking about Flight 93. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up here, but Jim, I want to reiterate this Norman Mineta testimony on this hit piece. They literally were muddying the waters and trying to confuse people into, you know, kind of tying in Flight 93, and that's probably what they were talking about, something to that effect. Did you catch that part?
Mike, repeat it. What part about 93?
On this hit piece last night,
yeah.
We know that Norman Mineta was specifically talking about Flight 77. And
yeah.
What they did was, what they were talking about, they were basically trying to muddy the waters and trying to confuse people and to make them think it was Flight 93. So they don't have an answer for it, so they try to confuse the issue. But this is the expert talking. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, they did several things, Mike. I mean, you're picking up on a good one. They put in several problems that they have. They put in Building 7, so you several times saw the building come down in a complete, abrupt, and total collapse in 6.5 seconds, completely consistent with a controlled demolition. Then you had this guy who used to be the assistant editor for Traveler magazine saying that, well, it looks like a controlled demolition, but if you knew how the building was constructed, et cetera, then you'd know better, which was quite ridiculous. They alluded to diesel tanks that were in the building, and there were diesel tanks in the building, but diesel burns at a very low temperature and is not explosive. The fires in that building were very modest, and they could easily have been extinguished, except they were allowed to burn. We've discovered, by the way, that the fire alarm was turned off in that building at about 6:20 in the morning. That's pretty bizarre all by itself. But they've included Larry Silverstein saying how, you know, well, there's been so much death and destruction, perhaps the best thing to pull it. He said they made the decision to pull it, and we watched the building come down. They were trying to get that stuff out there, I think, so that they could put their spin on it, Mike, but they were not successful because of the mediocrity of the replies and their implausibility. They also showed the towers, of course, turning to dust repeatedly, which is powerful stuff. Something was going on there that goes far beyond the use of merely conventional explosives. And, of course, at Shanksville, there was something very strange at the tail end of the Shanksville presentation because they were showing this indentation in the ground and the complete absence of any debris from a 100-ton airliner with a 125-foot wingspan and a tail that stands 44 feet above the ground. No debris from the airliner at all was visible, and yet in the very last cut, I don't know if you noticed, Mike, it looked like there was some metal parts in the ground that they showed in one little clip. I don't know where it came from. I've never seen it before. It looked contrived, but they were certainly trying to create an impression. My God, if a plane had actually gone in there, we know how to do mining, how to extract it. In fact, one of the more fanciful theories for the disappearance of the plane is that it had actually flown directly into an abandoned mine shaft. Well, if that was true, we should have all this excavation equipment. We should be digging it up, creating an enormous excavation project to bring out at least the bodies of those who were on the planes if there were no survivors. And, of course, nothing like that happened. The whole thing was a charade. And process of trying to sort of, you know, cover things up, that they inadvertently provoked a lot of interest. As a friend of mine has observed, he's been active on many forums where this has been discussed. He didn't see one person who said, well, you know, I used to think there was a conspiracy here, but now that I watched the history special, I know there wasn't. Not a single person who says that they were completely successful in dispelling conspiracy theories. They weren't, and no one is claiming that they did.
Well, and yeah, what I'd like to do now, there's a question. I'm going to get into this pulverized dust because this is the next part. I mentioned to you off the air, and me as certified in private investigation, I used to think that, okay, you know, the theory with the thermate, and I'm sure that they used thermate, was all there was to it. But as I looked deeper into this, and I said, well, you know what, thermate is not going to cause that dust to pulverize to a point where it's just fine dust. So I'm entertaining all plausible theories, including yours now, Jim, of which, and I'm embarrassed to say, there was a point where I'd backed off and said, oh boy, he's a nut. No, I don't want to talk about that. But you know what? After taking a second look at it, now I'm looking at your research, Jim, in a different light. But before I get to that, and we got a break coming up here shortly, but before I get to that, this expert that was talking about the fact that it wasn't a controlled demolition, I would assume, and I never got his name, they never put a name in the caption, I would assume that this guy is some sort of a demolition guy, because he was talking about the word pull doesn't mean pull. Okay? You remember that?
They argued that he was talking to me. That was their young guy, who looks like he's a high school kid, David Colburn, who was saying they were talking about pulling the firemen out of the building, but there weren't any firemen in the building at that late afternoon time. They hadn't been in the building since about 11 o'clock in the morning. We don't use the word it to pull it to refer to animate objects such as human beings. And when you look at the context of the, you know, him making this remark to the fire commander, and then they made the decision to pull, and we watched the building come down, it doesn't fit at all. This is just a, you know, grasping after straws. There's no basis for that kind of explanation, attempt to explain away something that was very clear and easily intelligible in terms of its grammar, its the meaning of the sentence and the context in which it was uttered.
Okay. Well, now, I know of whom you speak, this young guy that was along with Miggs, but this guy, I'm talking about this guy that was, saying that pull didn't mean pull. I was assuming this guy was some sort of their demolition expert. It was a heavy set guy, darker complected. But at any rate, listen, We're going to go to a break. I haven't opened up the phone lines yet, but I've already got a call in on the line here, and I want to take some calls, and then I want to go into more on what you've been exploring on these alternative theories with scalar weaponry and so forth, Jim. So hold with me. We'll be back after the break. Then I'll take a call, and we'll get into that. So Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. See you in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Long segment coming up here, so we've got some time to chat. Now, Jim, before we get into the alternative theories here, got a couple callers on the line. You want to take some calls? Hello, Jim.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Do you want to take some calls with
me? Sure, I'm glad to.
Okay. Let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to talk about Shanksville. Okay, they say that the plane went into a abandoned cave, and they have done no digging, as far as I know. First off, do you know if there's a restriction against flying over top of that and getting more pictures or anything like that?
I don't know that there is. I'd be kind of surprised. They destroyed the crash scene rather completely when they were all done. They even cut down trees in the vicinity that had any indications of any fire whatsoever. You know, Colonel George Nelson, an Air Force expert on crash scenes, told me it looked to him as though someone had taken a bulldozer out there, dug a ditch, filled it with trash, and blown it up. they kept photographers at least 1,000 feet away from this scene. You'd think they'd want everyone there to be taking pictures in case they captured some element of evidence, residue, refuge, whatever, that could later turn out to be significant, but they operated precisely the opposite way, as though they wanted to close it off from access to the public.
And there's also the point that if they recovered the voice recorders and the other black box on board and stuff like that, I mean, what did they use if they didn't get down there and actually get inside the plane?
Yeah, well, that's, the whole story is quite fanciful. In fact, in the simulation, they showed the plane upside down. I understand from pilots it's impossible to fly a plane like that upside down, and yet that's what they were showing in their animation. And, of course, we know from the purported cockpit voice recorder, which was played at the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, the alleged 20th hijacker, who actually was convicted of a completely different crime in April of 2005, which was participation in a plot to hit the White House in an effort to free the blind sheik who was involved in the attack on the World Trade Center in 1993, during which he disavowed having anything to do with the attack on the World Trade Center in 2001. And yet here a year later, in April of 2006, he was being subjected to a trial to determine whether he should get life in punishment or have his life forfeited, on the ground that if he had come forward and explained his involvement in the plot, then they might have been able to do something to prevent it. Not only is that contradictory to the Fifth Amendment, which says you don't have the obligation to incriminate yourself, but they'd played a shell game, because this wasn't the offense to which he had been found guilty a year earlier. Not only that, but in the what must have been a very embarrassing development, an FBI agent who'd been following Moussaoui testified that he'd reported to his superiors his suspicion that this guy might be involved in some kind of terrorist drill using a plane, maybe to even hit the World Trade Center, which he later said was just a lucky guess. Not once, not twice, but 70 times. And I say, hey, 5 or 6 times and your superiors don't follow it up, maybe that's simple incompetence. If you're getting to 20 or 25 times, that's got to be criminal neglect. By the time you get to 70 times, it's obvious this is a matter of official policy, that they're keeping these guys under wraps so they can roll them out when the government itself commits these atrocities and they need patsies to blame it on.
Would you be willing to start a petition to exhume the Shanksville craft?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Sure, have a complete excavation of the Shanksville site and see if there's any evidence there whatsoever. Sure,
right.
I would sign on to that.
I'd sign on to it.
Yeah, if you know anybody that would write it up or something like that,
I don't know. You know, we have a petition. If you go to 911scholars.org, there's a petition on our website about, 12 different categories of evidence that the government has not released. And when you just read through that petition, it's really shocking how much evidence the government has withheld. It's very clear that they have a great deal to cover up here. It's stunning.
Okay, I'm going to let somebody else get on there.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Don. Okay, Jim, we're going to go to Malcolm in Chicago. Malcolm, you're on with Jim and Michael. Go ahead.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
Doing fine.
Nice to be on here. Listen, I wanted to ask you a question. It's been quite a while ago. I've seen a video footage by Richard A. Siegel. The name of his documentary was Eyewitness. And from what I viewed, he showed a helicopter, appeared to be black or blue, hovering over one of the towers. And some flash of light came from the helicopter on top of the towers. Have you witnessed that? And if you have saw it, have you all found out what that was, the light?
Well, Rick Siegel's footage is very important footage. It was taken from across the river and across the Hudson River, and it does show actually several different helicopters, most of which are all very light in color, that are flying around the Twin Towers. And there are lots of suspicious questions, questions that this raises about their suspicious activity. I think any listeners would be shocked to know that the rooftop doors were locked on those buildings so that, a helicopter saving passengers, saving persons in the building could not take place using helicopters, even though there were many helicopter pilots standing by who wanted to do that. They were denied the right to attempt it. And what Rick Siegel suggests, it seems to me, in his footage, is the possibility that those helicopters could have been involved somehow in the destruction of the towers. I think that's very plausible. That may even account for why they locked the doors, because it might have been the case that anyone up there would have been in the position to observe what was actually going on in terms of some unconventional modes of demolition that were taking place.
Exactly. I had my suspicions on that myself, because I understand, just like you, that those helicopters, the rescue helicopters, were not allowed to fly above the towers and try to save any people. So I did believe that maybe the few helicopters, the black ones that was allowed to fly above, may have had some kind of connection with those towers coming down, even maybe by remote control, because it appears as though when the helicopters approached the towers, that's when the towers started to come down. I mean, I don't know if that's not yet to be proven, but that's what it appears to me.
Let me just suggest a place you might go to pursue this. There's a huge amount of photographic and documentary evidence about the actual destruction of the towers found on the website of Dr. Judy Wood, and the website is entitled drjudywood.com. Go to drjudywood.com. And you're going to find a huge array of photographs and documents that are, in my opinion, the most important evidential repository we have today about the events of 9/11 in New York City. I might mention that a magazine has just published an article about her research. It's a very good article. It's about 5.5 pages long in Paranoia Magazine for fall 2007, issue number 45, which features a photograph of Lee Harvey Oswald on the cover. It's a marvelous article, and I highly recommend it, and I hope to have it actually have the article posted on Scholars later today. So if you go, say, tomorrow to 911scholars.org, you ought to be able to find this article very accessible there. By going to the featured articles or to the headlines, you should have a link that will take you right to this article. Really fascinating. One case where a reporter was actually equal to the subject he was seeking to cover.
One more question. I want to know, are you all trying to plan maybe a suit against the individual who's responsible for the hit piece on the History Channel, since they poorly represented a lot of your research on that channel? Were you thinking about any of you thinking about some kind of lawsuit?
The problem is that, you know, we're talking about public figures, people like David Ray Griffin and I and Webster Tarpley and Alex Jones and Dylan Avery and so forth. We're public figures. The only basis a public figure can have for a lawsuit for libel or defamation is if they can prove malice, which means that the source of the false information had to know better and nevertheless went ahead recklessly to convey false information. Now, if we had all of the copies of all their original tapes and so forth, I think we probably could do a pretty good job of proving that. But I would be very surprised if any of us were, you know, in the position of going after them with some kind of lawsuit. Of course, I'd be glad to testify to the huge range of topics that I covered when they interviewed me in New York for an hour and a half, and how selective they were and what they actually used and so forth. But I think it's very unlikely that would happen. This kind of thing, I'm afraid, is very commonplace, and it happens in politics and in advertising all the time, where they give a very biased, distorted, one-sided view. Fox television channel specializes in this all the time.
Okay, well, thank you. And listen, hey, man, all of us are with you. I'm with you, and everybody else who wants to seek truth are with you. You're not in this alone.
Thank you, and thank you for calling. I appreciate your call.
Right, thank you.
All right, let's go to Daniel in British Columbia. Daniel, you're on with Michael and Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yes, good
afternoon,
gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you some information which can really disabuse you of having to resort to Star Wars type descriptions to describe the very actually ordinary explosive event that 9/11 was. Particularly the Twin Towers. Are you familiar with the work of Christopher Brown, who has revealed some startling news that describes the entire physical event?
Yeah, I actually had Christopher Brown on my program as a guest. He talks about a concrete core. Almost immediately, it was obvious to me that Christopher Brown had a false impression about the construction of the towers. He had even left out the 47.
Wait a minute, Jim. Are you saying that the Corps was as FEMA are presenting it? That there was not, it was not a concrete cast core?
Yeah, it was not a concrete cast core, right? It was 47 core columns. I don't think there's any point in addressing this. I had Chris Brown on my show. You can check the archive. His story is really fanciful. He doesn't understand this construction of the towers. I pointed out immediately that he had ignored the 47 core columns that were the main support columns and was talking about the inner structure within the 47 core columns. I have listened to Chris Brown. I had him on my show for 2 hours, and it was not only unpersuasive, but he seemed to me to make fundamental mistakes in his understanding of the construction of the towers.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, we can let him go in there and do the research on that, because that was another question I had. These guys are dancing around the issue and talking about the fact that they weren't controlled demolitions, and it's interesting how they always seem to avoid those 47 core columns in the building that just mysteriously vanished for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous. I mean, think of it this way. The plane hit on the 96th floor of the North Tower. It hit on the 80th floor of the South Tower. All the floors below that were stone cold steel. There's no reason whatsoever for them to have collapsed. They were designed to support all the load above them. In fact, John Skilling, who was the principal engineer on the firm that was responsible for their construction, observed they were designed to support 2,000 times their expected live load. That's 20 times the load that they were ever be expected to have to endure. And even if it were true, which it is not, that the fires had gotten hot enough to cause the steel to weaken so that it could only, say, support half of a normal load, that would still mean they were designed to support 10 times the remaining load. And remember, as long as a fire is burning, it's converting the mass into energy, smoke, and so forth, which means there's less and less weight to support the longer the fire burns. I often draw a parallel with the Eiffel Tower, because while the towers were square and the Eiffel Tower is not, the steel at the base of the towers was 4 to 5 inches thick and then tapered off to a quarter inch at the top. So it's very much like, in terms of its structural support, the Eiffel Tower. Would anyone in their wildest dreams ever imagine if a plane hit the top of the Eiffel Tower or a fire broke out that the rest of the structure would collapse? No one would ever imagine that. And, of course, it's equally true for the Twin Towers. No steel structure high-rise ever collapsed due to fire in the history of engineering before 9/11, nor after 9/11, nor if our research is correct on 9/11.
Well, it's interesting that we just had a fire with the Deutsche Bank in New York just last week.
That's right.
And, how many hours did that burn, and it didn't collapse?
Right, that's right. It burned longer and hotter, and it didn't collapse. So that's a very nice illustration right here at hand. In fact, Mike, back in 1975 in February, there was a huge fire in the North Tower on the 11th floor. It consumed two-thirds of the floor, enveloped the core, and burned at a very intense temperature of 2,000 degrees or more for 3 or 4 hours, and yet none of the steel had to collapse. That, to me, is a very nice confirmation that the underwriter's laboratory was correct in its certification.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like to do, Jim. Now, you're with me for the whole 2 hours, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Okay, because what I'd like to do is shift gears. As I watched this again last night, and I watched the towers collapsing, and I'm listening to these so-called experts, the editor of a magazine, talk about how it wasn't a controlled demolition, as I watched this tremendous force that was spewing forth pieces of steel beams across the street like missiles into other buildings. And I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be credence lent to plausible theories such as some other force other than just thermite. The explosives had to be so immense that, I mean, those beams themselves, those sections of beams that were 8 to 12 feet, I believe, those themselves were weighing in the neighborhood of several tons. Just those
even massively more, yeah. And these beams were being blown outward and even upward. It's astounding. And of course, the building in its totality was being converted to dust, very fine dust. That includes not only the concrete, but also the steel, the office furniture, the chairs, the computers, the human beings, and other living things. That includes a whole lot of asbestos with which the building was coated, too, by the way. And when it was all done, Mike, Judy Wood, who is a former professor of mechanical engineering from Clemson, who has degrees in structural engineering and engineering mechanics, which is also known as applied physics and in materials engineering science, has done studies that show that the mass you should have left over when you have a building demolished is about 12% of the total. So that in the case of the Building 7, which was 47 stories, we have about seven floors worth of pile of debris there, which is about 12%. Now, in the north and the south tower, since there are 110 stories, you should have 14 or 15 floors worth. But in fact, we have plenty of photographs, and Judy includes them on her site, that show the building was really reduced to ground level. I mean, there's not even three floors of debris. The lobbies in the north and south tower were three floors high. You don't even have enough debris to equal the lobby, and that's because it was blown to dust. Let me mention, by the way, there are a couple of new video clips that are very short but are very powerful. There's one called 9/11, The Towers of Dust, that makes this very point in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. There's another called This Is an Orange, talking about the destruction of Building 7, which is 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And there's a new very short one called Silver Bird that only runs 30 seconds. Go onto YouTube and run Silver Bird, This Is an Orange, and 9/11, The Towers of Dust, and you begin to appreciate how far removed the government story is from reality.
How about, now I mentioned to you off the air, there was a relatively new video that came out called 9/11 Octopus.
Yes. You know, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, and it lends right in with what you've been researching. Now, let me ask you this question, Jim. As far as, okay, so we know there was thermite involved. We know there was thermite involved because of the way that these beams were cut. Okay, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll be back in three, and I'll cover this further. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening with my guest, Jim Fetzer. We'll be right back. Stick with it. It's going to get better.
Problems, mostly from credit card debt. Approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Short segment coming up here to the top of the hour. And I guess we've got a caller that is he's in Scholars for 9/11 Truth, Jim. Let's take him, and then I'll get back into what I was talking about the demolition. Let's go to Jake in, where was it, Louisiana? Hello, Jake?
I'm here.
Yeah, Jake, how you doing?
Oh, great. Good afternoon, Jim and Mike. Jim, I'm your old buddy down in South Louisiana. That's on your email list, and you're on mine.
Hello, Jim. Jim, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. I am, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Hello, Jim. This is Jake down in South Louisiana.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm having trouble keeping up with all the data here. Have y'all made any more progress toward determining what the secondary energy source was that vaporized the concrete and steel and desks and bodies and everything else?
Well, apart from that, it appears to have been some kind of high-tech weapon that, and there's whole families here. There are lasers, masers, plasmoids, antimatter. They can be ground-based, they can be airborne, they can be mounted in planes like a 747, they could be in dirigibles, they can be on satellites. One of the most, they can be reflected from satellites, where satellites merely function as mirrors. There was an experiment as long ago as 1991, where a ground-based laser was deflected off of a mirror on a satellite and hit its target back on Earth, after which the whole program became highly classified. Bob Bowman, who was the director of the Star Wars Research Program, who has a PhD in nuclear energy, recently acknowledged that the Star Wars program was always offensive, and it was never intended to be merely defensive, which, of course, implies that there are, you know, these weapons are in space. I mean, it's very easy to criticize research you're unfamiliar with by describing it as space beams or death rays or what have you. Those are cheap shots that don't reflect the reality of the situation. We have scholars like Bob Petrakis, an investigative journalist who has published 13 books and won 13 awards for investigative journalism. One of his books is Star Wars Weather Mods and Full Spectrum Dominance, where he discusses the development of families of weapons in these categories. And if you go to Judy Wood's website, you'll find, if you go through it thoroughly, that she has a section devoted to many different kinds of weapons in this general category.
Yes, I've read Judy's page. She's a fabulous scientist, and I really, really enjoy and appreciate all the work that she's done. I think the main question to me, as I discussed with you, is to explain where the energy came from to vaporize half a billion tons of concrete and steel?
Yeah, 500,000 tons. Each building estimated weight of 500,000 tons.
Right.
And you know, if like 80% of it was pulverized and turned to dust, this required some enormous amount of energy. In fact, that's the way Paul Craig Roberts, one of our nation's leading public intellectuals, has phrased it, and that might be because he's a former assistant secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. But he said the problem with the government's official account is that it suffers from a massive energy deficit.
Exactly.
So, you know, no, we haven't been more specific in isolating exactly how this was done, but the amount of evidence that it was done using some high-tech weapon is growing greatly. Go to drjudywood.com and check it out.
Great, Jim. To me, that's the big thing. It's not so much as what did it, but the fact that the thermate does explain the cutting of the outer columns very well, and I appreciate Steve's work on that. But I somehow can't envision enough thermate being packed into the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Without it being very obvious that there was something going on.
Right. In his last article, he suggested it could have taken as much as 10 tons of thermite. My speculation would be even more.
Right.
Okay. Got to go to the top of the hour break. Thank you for the call, Jake. Appreciate it. Stay tuned for the second hour. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, Jim Fetzer. We'll be right back.
To make it right, I probably wouldn't if I could. It's true.